Thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. I want to begin the sermon today by reading the letter in this week's weekly update for the ministry, dated September 1st, 2011, from the Board of Directors of the Church of God, a worldwide association. It's the exact same letter that was sent to all the members of the church. It reads, "Dear brethren, the Ministerial Board of Directors, in its inaugural meeting August 29th through September 1st, 2011, reached a number of important decisions setting the future course for the Church of God, a worldwide association. After 8 months of operating in an interim mode while working to establish a long-term structure, the elders of the church recently confirmed a governance system and selected the Ministerial Board of Directors. In this meeting, we, the members of the Ministerial Board of Directors, took the next step of appointing a president, secretary, and treasurer, paving the way for forming a permanent administration that will oversee the day-to-day operations of the church. The officers selected were Jim Franks, president, David Johnson as secretary, and Jason Lovelady as treasurer. This meeting, held in Orlando, Florida, began on Monday morning with a brief discussion to set the agenda priorities following a lengthy conversation about lessons learned. Such an analysis was a necessary step forward towards our future success, and it included not only the recent past, but the entire history of our experiences in the church. The discussion also incorporated the input received over the past few weeks from many members and ministers. In the afternoon, Jason Renew, the church's legal counsel, assisted the Ministerial Board of Directors in review of the governing documents recently approved by the elders, with special attention to the Ministerial Board of Directors' responsibility and how it is to interact with the administration, the Doctrine Committee, and the Moral and Ethics Assessment Committee. The new governance structure was designed to give more responsibility to the president and administration, with the board assuming its legal oversight while leaving the day-to-day administration to the president and his team. This is more typical of how boards normally function. Discussion centered on how the board would fulfill its advisory role in relationship to the president and his team functioning in the administrative role. Talk then turned to the selection of the officers, the president, the secretary, and treasurer. The discussion of the criteria for those responsibilities, as well as the actual process by which they would be selected, took up the remainder of the day. Our documents simply state that the board must approve the three officers of the corporation, so the procedures needed to be clarified. We had all come to the meeting having already given considerable thought for the past several months to the criteria and process, and we brought a number of ideas to the table. After devoting considerable time and discussion, we agreed upon the criteria and drafted a six-step process for the selection of the president. On Tuesday, we reviewed, edited, and approved by resolution the criteria and process outlined for the selection, then recessed for a time for personal prayer before selecting the officers. Upon returning, after considerable discussion, we then selected the officers. While these appointments were the most important matters to determine, there is no shortage of items to discuss. Through the afternoon, we covered the process for approving ordination and credentialing requests, policies and procedures that need to be developed, how members for the Doctrinal Committee and the Moral and Ethics Assessment Committee would be appointed, as well as the factors concerning a principal office location for the organization. After determining that a small office is indeed necessary to function effectively, a task force of Clyde Kylo, the chair, David Johnson, Dave Evans, and Jason Lovelady was appointed to conduct a location study and report back to the president and board prior to the Ministerial Board of Directors' annual meeting set for December 5th through the 8th. On Wednesday, the group discussed in general what was needed for areas of operations, primarily the ministerial services and media, and what qualities will be needed for managers to oversee those areas. We then moved to suggestions for men who could serve on the Doctrine Committee and the Ministerial and Ethics Assessment Committee. Mr. Franks asked the board members to continue to submit their ideas and stated that he intends to ask for suggestions from the ministry regarding men who could serve on these two committees. He also set targets for bringing forward his recommendations for the board approval for the Feast of before the Feast of Tabernacles. The next focus of discussion centered on moving forward with fulfilling the church's mission, which is to take the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world, to make disciples of those whom God has called, and to teach those disciples to observe all that Jesus Christ has commanded. Matthew 24:14, Matthew 28:19-20. The dialogue covered a broad spectrum of topics, ranging from how we should most effectively use various media vehicles to member/minister education to assisting the international areas. The ideas put forward were not designed to lead to discussions, but to begin considering issues that are important to our future work. In the afternoon, we reviewed the latest financial report to be aware of the income and spending trends, and we discussed some recommendations for donation processing. You can see a financial report in the announcement section dated September the 1st, and weekly update for the ministry. Finally, brethren, we are very well aware that you have been concerned and praying fervently about the success of these meetings. We deeply appreciate your spiritual support, and we consider that most important part of this report is to tell you how grateful we are that God has indeed blessed us with clarity of direction and spirit of brotherhood and unanimity. As a church, we are now turning our attention to the coming festival season and the work that awaits us when Christ returns. We eagerly look forward to serving with him and helping this world recover from the bondage of sin. So, above all things, let us continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In that pursuit of holiness, we will find God's hand guiding all that we do. As always, our prayer is that God will be in you in every way. In Christ's service, Jim Franks, Doug Horchek, Clyde Kylo, Joe Meeker, Richard Pennelly, Richard Thompson, and Leon Walker. Brethren, these are interesting times in history, in the history of God's church, in the history of the work of God on earth. And the overwhelming response that I have, and I think we all should have, having stepped out on faith, is a thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. You know, sometimes in this fast-paced world, we can look at events that take place in our lives and not hold them in the highest esteem. But when it comes to the work of God and his hand being on this work, this portion of God's work, this fellowship of God's work, and we can see God's hand blessing this work and blessing his ministry and blessing the leadership and blessing us, it just leaves me speechless. All that we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. And this is one of those times, brethren. This is one of those times where we should be very, very happy. Very, very thankful, because God Almighty, our Father in heaven, has been merciful to us. He has been merciful to us. He has placed his hands on us and blessed us with a spiritual family, with brothers and sisters here, brothers and sisters around the world. He has blessed us with a place of worship. Look around this hall. This is beautiful. This is God's hand at work. Think about the sound equipment, the piano, and everything that has come together. Think about all of you who have chipped in and served to make all this come about. This is God's blessing. What a great blessing he has done for us. Think about our spiritual leadership, the ministerial board of directors, the administration, the men who stepped in the interim, you know, Mr. Kylo and all particularly, who stepped in the gap to make sure that things were pulled together at a time of dire crisis. And God's hand was on us. And God's hand has blessed us. And now He has blessed us with a spiritual leader over our newly formed organization by having us be blessed with a president and Mr. Franks. What a blessing. What a huge, huge blessing. This is a wonderful time. The book of Acts is not completed. It is not ended. And I'm sure when that book is completed, this time, these events, this time in history will be written down in the book of Acts. And those who precede us, those who follow us, those in the millennium who will read about the work of God's church will be reading about this fellowship and what happened with this fellowship and how we're working together to fulfill God's work. Brethren, 8 or 10 months ago, most of us came to the conclusion through prayer, through tears, through fasting, that we would leave friends, we would leave a spiritual family, and in many cases, physical family members in one fellowship through the urging of God's Holy Spirit to form another. And we stepped out on faith. And it was scary. But we did so on faith. And we stepped out on faith that God would provide. And brethren, God has provided. God has provided. It is exciting. It is chilling. God has provided. And this goes down in the history of God's church. Now this branch of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, has been established. Although there is so much more that needs to be done, I want to take the time today to look into God's Word at an event in the history of God's work of working with His people, and provide us with a prayer list. I want to provide us with a prayer list today that is focused on the development of this fellowship, this part of God's work that we've been called to be a part of. And I want that prayer list to also include the physical leadership of this organization, to include the president, the administration, the ministerial board of directors, the doctrinal committee, the ethics committee. And that we have these things as a hallmark in our prayers. And I also want to add to our prayer list and items that have to do with the mission that God has called us to fulfill. Because we have work to do. We have work to do, and we're excited through God's blessing to be a part of this work. I want to begin by reading the fundamental beliefs, number 17 of the Church of God, a worldwide association titled The Church of God, to gain and to set a foundation of the spiritual composition of this body. It says here in that fundamental belief titled The Church of God, the Church of God is a spiritual body composed of believers who have and are being led by the Holy Spirit. The church is not a denomination, a human organization, or a building, but the people God is working with in this age. That's us. That's us. The biblical name of this church is Church of God. Its mission is to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to all nations and to make disciples of all who respond to God's calling, assisting them in their spiritual development and reconciliation to God. End quote. That is what we are. That is what we are part of. We need to sink it in. We need to have that as a part of our prayer. What an exciting time in history. That fundamental belief states succinctly who we are and what God has called us to do. God has been merciful to us in allowing us, His people, and not His only people, but this part of His people, this fellowship, as part of this organization, as part of this spiritual body, to be placed on a road with God as our lead, with Jesus Christ as our lead, to fulfill a tremendous mission. The mission to preach the gospel to this world, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to this world. This world needs it. This world needs it. And to make disciples of those whom God is calling. We don't know who those will be. Thankfully, it's not our job to make people come into this door, come into this fellowship. God will take care of that. We need to do our part. We need to do our work. And then when they come, that we can assist them in their spiritual development and then their reconciliation to God. Not to us, but to God. Because that's what we all are here for. We're here to grow in our spiritual reconciliation to God. And to draw closer to God and become more like God. And to develop spiritually. So that we can be part of the kingdom of God. That's why we are here. And God, in His great mercy and love for us, right here within Kagwa, this fellowship has performed a wonderful and marvelous miracle before our eyes. This has been a miracle, a blessed miracle. And thank God for your mercy endures forever. Before I get to our prayer list, let's take a look at the term that I've used a couple times here, fellowship. Fellowship. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm always cautious that we don't become tied up thinking in any way, shape, or form that we are the only people that God is working with. I pray that God is still working with our former affiliation, the former fellowship. I pray that God is working with the other organizations that recognize His way of life. But God has called us into this fellowship. This is where we are. That's where our focus must be. But in no way or shape or form should we limit God. Should we limit what He is doing? God doesn't wish that anyone be lost. And however this all works out in the end, that's God's care. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we should be doing to not thwart that process. So I use the term fellowship here because this is the term that's used in the Bible. Because the church is a spiritual body, as we just read, of those whom God is working with. We don't know who all of those people are. We don't know who they might be. But we know who we are, and what we are is a fellowship. What we are is a fellowship. Here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life," speaking of Jesus Christ, "the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the fathers, which the Father, and was manifested in us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that our joy may be full." So what's said here is that our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with one another. And we can look around and see who's a part of this fellowship. We can't necessarily look out into the world and know who all is a part of God's church. But the point that's being made here is that we know who is a part of the fellowship. And that's what's being written here. That's what's being brought out here. Verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from Him," Jesus Christ, "and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's a lot that goes on and spoken about here in 1 John. He begins 1 John talking about the fellowship, talking about the fact that we all in this room recognize that we have sins. We all in this room recognize that we have weaknesses. But our fellowship is in Jesus Christ. He's called us together to strengthen one another, to work with one another, to fulfill the mission of the church, the preaching of the gospel, and preparing of a people for the kingdom of God. That's what we're here to do. And God has shown us by putting his hand on this fellowship, on the Church of God, a worldwide association, that he is indeed blessing us. He has blessed us. It's no short of a miracle. This word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. It means a close mutual association. It means to share. It means participation, willing contribution. And that's what we do here on the Sabbath. I mean, everyone seems has something that they're contributing. Whether it's the setup of the equipment, whether it's bringing food, whether it's sweeping up, asking the children to slow down so they don't hurt themselves. We're here contributing as a fellowship, all of us. Those who have to leave early are contributing through prayer for us. And coming here Sabbath after Sabbath and joining in fellowship with us. And that's happening around the world. Around the world. This word, koinonia, is translated fellowship 12 times. Communion 4 times. Communication once. Distribution once. Contribution once. And communication once. And all of those are a part of what we do in fellowship. Fellowship means association, community, communion, joint participation, the share which one has in anything. Fellowship, intimacy, a gift jointly contributing. That's what we are. God has blessed us with a fellowship. God has blessed us in this fellowship. It implies sharing with someone or sharing something with someone. That's what we're here to do on God's Sabbath day. That's what we're here to do as a part of this fellowship. Kagwa represents our fellowship in the church, the body of Christ, that spiritual body. And what God has blessed us with in allowing this fellowship, this organization, this communion of his called out ones to be formed to fulfill the mission of God's church is a miraculous blessing from him. A blessing from him. How difficult is it, for any business to get up on its feet, to select leaderships of that particular business, to get the finances of that business organized, to decide in that business to who to give and to help within that business contributions for the needy. To figure out how to pay ministers spread around the world. Think about all the complexities that had to take place. To get the legal parts in place so that halls like this can be established and we can have insurance in case something happens. All the different things that had to take place to make this come about. A fellowship. Indeed, a miracle. Kagwa is simply the human organization. With all of that said, we're simply the human organization or fellowship that God has blessed to fulfill his mission. But God has called us to fulfill that mission. He's called us to fulfill that mission. Brethren, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. We have been blessed by God with the establishment of physical organization, made up of men who have humbly yielded themselves to the lead of God's Holy Spirit to aid in all that His spiritual body of believers must do within His church, within His spiritual body, to fulfill the mission of preaching the gospel, preparing a people for the kingdom of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I, today, am ecstatic. I'm happy. I am very happy. Very, very happy. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This could have turned out so badly. This could have turned out so horribly. I see it all the time in business. I see it all the time. You see it all the time in business or in family. This is indeed a blessing. So in creating our prayer list, I want to focus on one section of the Bible. Go with me over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles represents a very joyous time in the work of God on earth. It is where David, having built the tabernacle, was now placing the ark of God into that tabernacle. A huge accomplishment. He read through and got the writings from Moses on how the tabernacle was supposed to be structured, how the ark was supposed to be fashioned, how to handle it. They made mistakes, but then he got to the point. He came to the place where the tabernacle was built, and he was going to move that ark into the tabernacle in a very, very exciting time. Before we go to 1 Chronicles, go with me first over to 2 Samuel. I want to begin there. Go with me first to 2 Samuel. You can keep your place there in 1 Chronicles. But go with me first over to 2 Samuel. Because we'll see here the joy that led up to this wonderful psalm over in 1 Chronicles that David wrote. But I want to first start with the joy, the excitement that led up to this incredible event in the history of God's church. You see, that tabernacle being moved, the ark being moved into that tabernacle was history. It laid the foundation for who we are. And we are laying the foundations for those who will come after us. But look at the excitement here over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6 in verse 12, beginning in verse 12. It says here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed an oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. And David and the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the shout of a trumpet." So this was an exciting time, an incredible time. "Now the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, and Michal, Saul's daughter, who was his wife, looked through a window and saw David leaping and whirling before the Lord." So he was ecstatic. I mean, he was happy. This was a joyous occasion. This was a landmark event. "And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the multitude of Israel, both women and men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins." This was a big deal. Every person there, he gave these gifts. And I probably would have started with the cake of raisins. I like sweets. But this is exciting. Think about those people. A cake of raisins was something of a king's delicacy. And he gave it to the people. Can you imagine them going back with this cake of raisins, sitting in their tent, peeling off a piece, in Eden. Oh, wow, this is exciting. So he found a way to pass that gift, to pass this excitement, to pass that joy down to everyone and have them rejoice in this historical event. Incredible. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Verse 20. Then David returned and blessed his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today," trying to steal away his glory, "uncovering himself in the eyes of his maids and his maidservants and his servants, and as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Now, unfortunately, David didn't have things under his undergarments when he was rejoicing and whirling. So his self was being shown to the people as he was dancing and joyfully excited, you know, excitement over this great event. Verse 21, so David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his household to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more indignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. A curse on her. But David said, look, I'm rejoicing before the Lord. The Lord obviously recognized that that was the case, because he put a curse on Michal for taking away his joy. He was happy. He was excited. Think about the event that took place. He was, quote unquote, simply taking the ark of God and moving it into the tabernacle. God has blessed us with an entire fellowship. Entire fellowship. Faithful men to lead us. Places of worship. And a family to support us. It's an exciting day. It's an exciting day. Now I'm happy today, but I'm going to be leaving my tie and my jacket on, just in case you're wondering. I'm not quite that happy. I am happy, not quite that happy. So let's look at the Psalm of David. Go with me over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, chapter 16. We're going to spend our time here, so you want to put a marker there. You definitely want to put a marker here over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We don't want to look at this song of thanksgiving. This is the song that David rejoiced, having brought that ark into the tabernacle. This prayer, this rejoicing of thanksgiving by David, we want to look at to create our prayer list. To create our prayer list that is focused on the continued development of our fellowship, the Church of God, a worldwide association. That's focused on our physical leaders. They are physical. They will make mistakes. Please understand that. Please understand that. They will make mistakes. But pray that God, as we'll go through here, is leading them. That they are yielding themselves to God. That they are humbly bowing themselves before God. That when they make a mistake, that they will repent to God and ask God's forgiveness. And then get up and move forward. And that we also, in this prayer list, will have an item here that has to do with our own individual mission and fulfilling the call of God. Our own particular work. So beginning here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says here, so David brought the ark of God and set in the midst of the tabernacles that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, of both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Verse 7. On the day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his people, he did this to thank the Lord. Prayer list item number one. Prayer list item number one. Thank God for his deeds that He is doing. Thank God for the deeds that He is doing right now. God is doing great deeds right now. We can look in the past and see all the great deeds that God has done. We can read in the Bible and think about all the wonderful deeds that God will do. But God is doing great deeds right now. Right now. Right now within this fellowship. Verse 8, it goes on to say, oh, how, and this is a song. This is a song that David wrote. These are the words to this song that he penned. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. His deeds, the things that he's doing right now. Sing to him. Sing psalms of praise to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Thank him for the deeds he is doing. Brethren, we can look back over the past 7 to 10 months for many of you, and years for others of us here. Years. And see that God has brought you through and brought us through to this point. A great spiritual blessing. Ministers walked out without a source of income. Ministers have children to put through college. Ministers have bread to put on the table. Ministers have mortgages to pay. Ministers have car loans and car debts. Ministers have electricity to keep the lights on. Ministers have all of those things. Ministers have emergencies that come up. And all of those things in this society requires income. And they walked out without a source of income. Around the world. Around the world. And we did our part in making a move as well. But God has brought us to this point in this fellowship. This past week, the ministerial board of directors elected a president. We can say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. His hand is upon us. His hand is upon us. Brethren, our brothers and sisters in South America, in Guatemala, in Mexico, in Chile, are now being cared for. They're being cared for. The ministry and members in that area of the world, and particularly throughout the organization in general, are being provided for. That's a miracle by God. That is happening right now. That is being done right now. We can thank God for the deeds that He is doing right now. Not because of our deeds. Because, see, we could have formed an organization and sent our tithes to have them squandered away. It's God who is overlooking this organization and this fellowship and blessing us so that the tithes and the offerings that we give are being helped and being used to help people around the world. That is a blessing. So the glory goes to Him. The praise goes to Him. Verse 8 says, make known His deeds among the people. God's deeds, what He has done for us, not what we have done for ourselves, is where the praise must go. Give praises and glory to Him. Whether it's during song service, whether it's our conversation after services, whether it's making a joyful noise at the upcoming holy days, we are singing and we are shouting and we're giving praises to God and we're lifting up our voices to Him. We're calling upon His name. We're giving Him the glory and seeking His guidance, seeking His face forevermore. That's why song service is so important. And I know it's difficult to have us remember that when we're singing. That's our time to sing praises to God. to lift up our voices to Him, to tell Him, thank you, Father, for what you have done, for bringing us through another week, for watching over us through the storm, for giving us the strength that we need, for blessing our brethren around the world who have difficult times and have difficult situations. That's our time to together as a fellowship, as a congregation, give praises to Him. How wonderful that is. God right now is creating miracles for us. Right now He is answering our prayers. It says in verse 10, let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. It's a day of rejoicing. God has given us the strength that we need, the finances that we need to bring us to this glorious point thus far. And we can be thankful to God for that. We can be thankful to God for that, what He is doing. Prayerless item number two. Prayerless item number two. Thank the Lord for what He has done. Thank the Lord for what He has done. Let's continue here in verse 12. It says, remember His marvelous works, which He has done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servants, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We can say, O men of Cagua, O congregation here in Clarksville, O people over in Chile, whoever they are, look at the wonders that God has done. That God has done. You see, there's nothing wrong with looking back and thanking God for what He has done. So with regard to Cagua, with regard to this fellowship, what personal blessings are there that God has done for you? You know, David here is recounting, remembering the blessings that God had done for him. What blessings can you remember that God has done for you? He was thanking God for building that ark. Thanking God for the tabernacle that He had a part in building. Thanking God for being able to move the ark into the tabernacle. Those were things that He Himself was participating in. How about you? Can you look back over these last 7, 8, 10 months and see God's hand working in your life with regard to this fellowship? We should take time to meditate, to pray, and thank God for the blessings He has shown us at this time and in this age of His spiritual body. It should be personal for you. Remembering your personal circumstances. Remembering the personal process that you went through to become a part of a different fellowship. Your personal prayers. Your personal fears. Your personal requests for intervention. Your personal conversations with husband and wife and family and friends during the last several months. Because God has had His hand on you as well. You know, what's part of my personal list? What's part of my personal list? Part of my personal list was my son, my firstborn in Chile, at the time of these events and everything that was surrounding that. That's part of my personal experience with this. And the toil and the trouble and the fear and the conversation with my wife and the conversation with my son while he's in Chile. And the conversations with the Longaricas there and the Ramones here and Mrs. Washington and all that involved with my son there. That's part of my personal experience. Part of my personal experience was also the blessing that God had in allowing my wife and I to go to Chile. And trying to think about, well, what do I say when Mr. Longarica asked me to preach to his people at this critical time? What do I say? What am I allowed to say? What am I ordained to say? What word should I use? Part of my personal experience was trying to give them the hope of God's salvation beyond the sore circumstances they were facing right then and there. Tough times, brethren. God's hand on us. Part of my personal experience. What's in yours? Part of my personal experience dealing emotionally and mentally with a heart-torn decision to walk away from a fellowship into an unknown fellowship. And knowing that God was with me, thanking God that my wife was with me. And praying that others were with us as well. God's hand was on us. God's hand was on us. And His hand is still on us. God says there's nothing wrong with looking back and counting your blessings. Counting your blessings, it's a big deal. What's on your personal list? What's on your list? This is history being made. We have work to do. Go with me over to Psalms. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians because we'll be coming back. Go with me over to Psalms 150. You know, I can only praise God today. That's about all I can do. I can only praise Him for His marvelous blessings. Over here in Psalms 150, David wrote these words. Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. He says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpets. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." That's what God wants us to do. The glory goes to Him. It goes to Him. Do you see His hand? Can you go back and think about His hand guiding you? Praise ye the Lord. This is our time. This is a time to praise God. We pray that God gives us many, many more times to praise Him. But this is a time to praise God. Prayer list item number 3. Prayer list item number 3. Back over here in 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 15. Prayer list item number 3. Thank God for the wisdom and the spiritual leadership of Kagwa men. And I'll add to that men and women. Thank God for the spiritual leadership of the men who are leading us and all the women who are involved in that leadership as well. Thank God for the spiritual leadership. David says here, "Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for a thousand generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham." See, he went back. He said, "Thank you for this physical guy called Abraham. And his oath to Isaac. Thank you for that physical guy called Isaac. And confirmed to Jacob for a statue. Thank you for that physical guy called Jacob. And to Israel. Thank you for all of Israel, all of those who have been called. And for an everlasting covenant. Saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment for your inheritance." You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were faithful men committed to fulfilling the work that God has placed before them. God had placed before them work to do as a part of the history of God's church. God has now placed before our leadership work to do as a part of this history of God's church. As you heard me say many, many times, and I'll repeat it as long as I have breath, this is not a game, brethren. This is the real deal. This is the real McCoy. We're not playing church here. God has called us, placed His hands on us, given us His Holy Spirit for a purpose, for a reason. We can thank God for that and the men who are part of that. We have leaders today, men who we hope and pray are fully yielding themselves to the power of God's Holy Spirit. Thank God for Mr. Waddle. I wrote him this past week thanking him for his leadership and his love and his friendship and guiding us to the point where we are today here locally. It didn't have to be this way. We don't have to be meeting in peace. We don't have to have a beautiful hall. We don't have to have men dedicating themselves, learning to serve, song leading and sermonettes and speaking to us. That doesn't have to be. God's hand is on us to make that possible. For the men at the leadership, at the helm, do we know them each by name? I encourage you to write down their list of names and keep it somewhere. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it wherever you pray so you can pray for them. Continually. They're going to need it because Satan doesn't like what's happening. He's going to be after them. Whether it's going to be to attack their flesh or their family or their thought processes or their wives, he's going to be after them because he's not happy with today. They're going to need our prayers. We should pray for each of them and the duties that they have been assigned. We should list them by name. And as the organization is filled out, we should pray for those others by name. For now, the list of leaders include Mr. Franks, David Johnson, Jason Lovelady, Doug Horchek, Clyde Kylo, Joel Meeker, Richard Pernelli, Richard Thompson, Mr. Leon Walker. Those are the men that God has blessed to lead this fellowship. Our part is to pray for them, fast for them. We should add to this list when praying for each of them. Please add their wives. If they're married, please add their wives. Their wives, as we read in Scripture, are heirs together in the work that God has placed before them. Pray for their wives. A lot of times the wives carry so much of a burden, so much of the stress, so much of the pressure, so much of the pain. Add to the list their children. Because the children of ministers live a life in a glass bubble. That's the life of a minister's child. Right? Because anything that they do, everybody talks about. Any stumble they make, I can't believe his child did that. And live their lives in a glass bubble. Added pressure. So the stresses that the church has been through, the stresses that the church will go through, will be passed on to those children and to their grandchildren. Pray for them. Pray for them. They're going to need our prayers. You see, we, like Abraham, like Isaac and Jacob, are in covenant with God through our baptism to fulfill the work that God has given us to do. They're in that same place. They're making history. You think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were thinking, well, you know, we are the king of the kings, the crop of the crop. I mean, we are it for the whole world. No. They were there thinking, you know, God has called me. I have this to do. I'm sure they had no idea the enormity of that calling. They were fulfilling the work that God had placed in front them to do. And that is what we pray that these men will also do. We must continually pray for our leaders that they will fulfill with godly humility. With godly humility and the strength of the Holy Spirit, the work that God has given them to do. Pray for our leadership. Prayer list item number 4. Though we are few in number, and we're just a bleep among humanity. Though we are few in number, thank God for and pray for His continued protection. Pray and thank God for His continued protection. Not just of us here, but our brethren in far-flung places around the world. Don't forget about our brethren in South America. Don't forget about our brethren in Africa. Don't forget about our brethren in Europe. Don't forget about our brethren in Australia. Wherever they are, don't forget about them. We have opportunity to read or to get a ministerial letter or something from the ministerial board of directors that talks about the international work. Take that to your prayer room. Take that to your knees. Pray for them. Ask God's protection over them. Ask God's guidance over them. They need it. We need it. Verse 19 goes on here, says, when we were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked the kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. And do no prophet, and do my prophets no harm. That must be our prayer. That must be our prayer. Don't touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. You see, this is Satan's world. And in this world, he will continue to do whatever he can to thwart God's plan, to disturb the work of God, to encumber the people of God. And without God, this fledgling organization can come to nothing overnight. It literally can. Without God's attention over His anointed ones, we're simply sheep for the slaughter. But with God's protection, as men and women marching forward to carry out the work of God and endeavoring to live God's way of life, we can do great things. We can do great things. We must pray, as David did, that no man wrong us. That they do not touch His anointed ones. Do His prophets no harm in fulfilling our mission. You see, harm can come in many forms. Unfortunate and catastrophic illness can come. Catastrophic events of nature, be it hurricane or earthquake or the like, can come. Financial persecution through lawsuits or unfair judgments by governments at home here in the United States or around the world can come. National or international crisis can come. Unemployment in the membership body in us can come that can have effect on this work. You see, as a church of God, according to Matthew, we have a worldwide work to do. And in our name is Worldwide Association. And the complexities that that brings is enormous for a mega organization, let alone a little small flock like us. The things that can happen are multifaceted. Satan would love to see us encumbered by legal wranglings. He would love to see us encumbered by financial difficulties. He would love to see us encumbered by pressures and health circumstances and sicknesses and illnesses. He would love to see that happen. So pray for his continued protection. Prayer list item number five. Pray that our preaching of the gospel to the world is effective. Pray that our preaching of the gospel to the world is effective. That it's effective. Verse 23 over here, continuing in 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 23. It says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." Isn't it interesting that that is included in this prayer of David? Good news, right? Day to day, that's a part of what he's rejoicing on. You can say, well, all he was doing is taking, you know, the ark into the tabernacle. What's the big deal about that, right? Get a couple guys, put them on the pole, put them on the shoulder. All right, hip, ho. Move it in. Done. All right, let's go down. Stop at Burger King on the way home. This is a big deal for him. Like, this is a big deal for us. And included in this psalm that he wrote is to proclaim the good news of his, Jesus Christ's, salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and gladness in his place. Brethren, we have the greatest news that this world will ever hear. We're not the only ones preaching this good news to the world, though. We're not. We are not. Remember that God's church is a spiritual body made up of whom he is working with, and God chooses to work with whomever he pleases. But God has clearly chosen to work with and through us, through this fellowship. Through this fellowship. We must pray that the tithes and the offerings given in faith to God, yet administered by men, will be done so through the leading of God's Holy Spirit. The world needs the good news of his salvation, proclaimed from day to day, as David stated in verse 23. It is a gospel that must be declared among all nations. We must tell about his wonders to all people. We must be God's voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare a way. Make straight his paths. We must endeavor to make God's way of life clear, his teachings known, and his return sure and certain. It's part of our gospel message. We must be the ones telling the world that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and how to praise him and why to praise him. We must tell the world that if they love Jesus, if they proclaim that they love Jesus, then keep his commandments. And that his commandments are not burdensome. just quote to you over in John chapter 4. You can turn there if you like. John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, if someone says, 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And his commandment, which we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Is that what we see taking place in this world? Do we see brother loving brother? Is that what the politics right now is all about in electing, moving towards the election of the President of the United States? A Republican and Democrat are spewing love on one another, talking about the good traits of, the person that they would like to have be replaced. Is that what it's about? 1 John 5, verse 1 continues, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Is that what the world is doing? Everybody's running around, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. That's the key. We must also, brethren, teach the world how to fear God and honor government. Go with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Says here, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We must tell the world that their gods, their idols, their implements of war end in sorrow and discontentment. Yes, follow the king, up to the point where the king disobeys God. But follow the king. The king has rules that aren't against God's law. Follow the rules. The king says pay taxes. Pay the taxes. Christ set us that example. He must have known that we would have issues with that. We must tell the world that the end result of their disobedience will end in sorrow and discontentment. But how? By the word of God, the heavens were made, and all the host of them were made. And that God is in charge. And to take time to look up at the stars and see the heavens that declare God's glory. We have a message to take to the world, a huge message to take to the world. We need to be able to tell the world that, yes, this world is upside down and backwards, but God is in control. God is in control. Prayer list item number six. Pray that we are worthy to receive more, that we might give more to the Lord to do his work. Pray that we are worthy to receive more so that we might give more to the Lord and to his work. Back over here in 1 Chronicles. Let's pick it up in verse 28. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 28 says, "Give to the Lord, O families of peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." See, God already owns everything that there is. He owns it all. He is teaching us through what He has given us to manage in a godly way what we have, and to give back to Him, and to also to give to others. But it all belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. You know, through God's Word, we must learn to give to the Lord first. You know, our first tithe is acknowledgement that He is first, and that all we have belongs to Him. That's what first tithe is. Commanded by Him. If you're my people, then give me a tithe. Does God need it? No. The church needs the physical income to do what we need to do. But could God make it without our individual tithes and offering? Absolutely, He could. But it's a lesson for us, which He's grooming and shaping us. The second tithe is acknowledgement that we must come before Him to the place where He sets His name and learn from Him at His feet and worship the Lord in beauty of holiness on His holy day, at His holy time, in His holy presence. That's what the second tithe is for. To bring us before Him. To the place where He chooses, at the time that He chooses to come before Him. Because we are His people, the sheep of His flock. That's what it's about. These are lessons that we learn in life. And when we come before Him three seasons a year, out of our heart, we should be willing to give an offering, acknowledging the blessings that, again, He has bestowed upon us. This is not about us. It's all about Him and Him working with us and bringing us into His family. So He says three seasons in a year, bring an offering. And we want to do so with joy in our heart, thanking God for the blessings that He has given us. However small that offering is, or however large it is, the size does not matter. What matters is what is in our heart. What's in our heart, and that we've gone before God when we prepare that offering to bring before Him. He knows our circumstances. He knows our situations. And then the substance that remains ours, that we faithfully manage it and then enjoy it according to His law and His will, and along the way, find ways and opportunities to help others with what we have remaining. Manage what we have left according to God's law. Manage it according to His way. And then along the way, find ways to help others. That's why we work and earn a living as God's children. And as we show God that we are faithful in managing His resources, then we can pray to God that He increases what He gives us, so that we might give more to Him, so that we might give more to others, along the way enjoy maybe even a little more for ourselves. That's the process. What a beautiful process. Because you see, in the end, we can't take it with us. We can't take it with us. It all goes back to Him. It's about us learning how to manage what He's given us to the best of our ability. And we're going to mess that up along the way. We're going to mess that up along the way because we're weak. We're not going to have at times the offering that we know our heart in our heart we should have. There are going to be times when we don't tithe like we should. Hopefully that's not a surprise to anyone. But hopefully when we don't, it pricks our heart because we know it's a commandment by God, and we take it to our knees and we repent before God, and we get up and try and then do it properly. That's the process. This is the process. God working with us to learn to manage what He has given us. Because, see, in the end, He's going to give us stars and planets, solar systems and kingdoms and families and people and angels to manage. That's what we're going to have in the end. He wants to see us through these processes. How are we managing? And we're managing it His way. And we're managing, are we bringing Him into the equation? That's what it's about. So pray that we are worthy to receive more, that we might give more to the Lord and to His work. Prayer list item number 7. Number 7. Thank God for the blessings which come from the earth. The blessings which come from the earth, and pray for blessings and protection so that we might fulfill our mission. Pray for the blessings that come from the earth. The food comes from the earth. The things that we need to build come from the earth. Rains come from the heavens that water the earth. Verse 30 over here in 1 Chronicles 16. It says, tremble before me, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and the fullness and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice, all that is in it. Let the trees and the woods rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. You see, we unfortunately can look around the earth today and see that the earth itself is under great distress. The earth itself is under great distress. The nations, and this nation in particular, the United States of America, that should be a blessing to the earth as a result of the blessings of Abraham, is under great stress because of disobedience. You know, we should be, based on the blessings given to us through the obedience of Abraham, truly helping the world. And everything that we're doing today is more than many nations could ever do, even in our stressful situation. But what is our debt? God says, to whom you owe, you are slave. Read through, when you get a time, Deuteronomy 28. The blessings and the cursings chapter. Because it talks about in there the fact that it wasn't intended that His people owe anybody. This nation was not to be in a place where we owe anybody. But what is our debt? Who do we owe? Who would you say we are slaves to today? China. China. You know a little bit about Bible history? Gog and Magog? What's happening here? All the riches that we have, how is it that we are in millions upon billions upon trillions of dollars in debt with all the blessings that we have? The earth brings forth all these blessings out of the soil in this nation, which we should be managing to bless other nations. But because of the curse and our disobedience, we are now slaves. Today, financial slaves. Tomorrow, physical slaves. That's Bible history. That's Bible prophecy. Prayer list number 8. Our last one. Prayer list number 8. pray for God's salvation. Pray for God's salvation. Verse 34, over here in 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles and give thanks to your holy name and triumph in your praise. Blessed be the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Pray for God's salvation. In the end, when all is said and done, we must pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Salvation ultimately is our desire, isn't it? Ultimately, that's what we want. Our desire is to hear our elder brother say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow! I can't wait! I can't wait! I got to keep the pressure on myself so that I can be there. God has provided us a fellowship to help us prepare. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, this prayer has been the prayer of God's servants throughout time. This must be our prayer. The Lord will do His part in bringing sons to glory and bringing daughters to glory. God's going to do His part. We must be actively, physically, and spiritually involved in doing our part every day. Praying every day. Bible study every day. We must pray for God's salvation through trial and tribulation, whatever it might be. Because there will be tough roads ahead. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. You see, we don't know how tough the road ahead will be. Now, I just mentioned that today we are financial slaves, tomorrow physical slaves. Because at some point in time, the man is going to say, time to pay. Time to pay. Pay up. Pay up. And when we say, well, we don't have it to pay, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. You know, all we have to do is look around the city, and hopefully it never has happened to us where we couldn't pay our mortgage. It happened to my grandmother when I was young. Couldn't pay. What was the result? Time to pay. Can't pay. Guess what? They came and put all her stuff on the street. All her stuff is on the street. Empty the house out. There it is. All your things on the street. It's not going to be any different for a nation. That's how men treat men who don't pay. When the debt comes due, there's going to be mayhem in the streets. Prophecy tells us that. When it happens, maybe we'll be here with some of our brothers and our sisters who have come before us over in Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 13, it says, Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's how we should feel. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Where is our mind? Where is our heart? Hopefully we don't get wrapped up in the political choosing 2012 of the president. That's the world system. Hopefully we get wrapped up in God's word. Hopefully we get wrapped up in our leadership who's leading us spiritually. Hopefully we pray for the system as God tells us to pray for our kings and our leaders. Because in the end, we may be among this number who died in faith, not having received the promise. Drop down to chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we have witnessed and are witnessing the mighty hand of God on his work in this fellowship, as I have expounded today. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so eagerly ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We have that ourselves to endure. Who knows what crosses we are going to have to bear? Physical cross, a financial cross, a tragedy among our children, a tragedy among our parents, a tragedy among friends or family. Who knows? But we, like them, have to endure and carry that cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus Christ is. We look forward to his throne coming back to this earth. Let's finish up here over in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 36. How did David end? This prayer, this song of praise. He's in it here. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen." Amen. So be it. And praise the Lord. All the people said, "Amen." So, brethren, let us say amen. Fitting to say amen before God for the blessings that he has done, for how he has placed his hand upon this organization, how he has led us to this place, how he's feeding his people around the world, how we now have a president, we have an administration, we have a ministerial board of directors set up to guide this fellowship. We can say indeed amen. Brethren, let us say amen and thank God, for his mercy does endure forever. I didn't bring a loaf of bread. I didn't bring a piece of meat. I didn't bring a cake of raisins. But I did bring a cake for all of us to enjoy after church, in celebration of this wonderful time and the milestone of the Church of God Worldwide Association. So after services, let us eat cake.